Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? I must have done okay because you're having me back. So I appreciate that. I actually look forward to any chance I get to come and be with all of you. And it's also really enjoyable that that we're all in one place at one time, i.e. one service. For me, it's enjoyable because I don't have to, I get to, you know, be here a shorter amount of time and give one sermon instead of two. Thank you. I don't know however it happened. I appreciate it. So that text out of Ephesians is about three kind of relationships: marriage, son and daughter, mother and husband, you know, mom and dad, and daughter and son, and then about working relationship, employer, employee. And so that my title for my sermon is Relationships, the Way They Were Designed. The other thing I wrote down was that attitude makes a difference. As you come into relationships, attitude makes a difference. If you know the purpose behind something, then it seems like everything just seems to go a little bit better. When you kind of go, oh, wait a minute, I understand the purpose. And that's, by the way, what I want to talk about today is I'm going to give us all something to think about, the purpose behind whether it be the marriage relationship, the children parent relationship, or the employee-employer relationship. Now, this summer, I spent a month at Young Life Camp. I was at Lost Canyon up in Williams, Arizona, which is 1 hour from the Grand Canyon, elevation 7,000 feet. And, you know, Young Life Camping has been around for 68 years. And in 68 years, we've never stopped understanding the purpose behind why we're camping. So the very last day I was at camp, there was a professional videographer there, and he said, let's see if we can get the purpose behind what we're doing and capture it in a little camp tour. So I'd love to show you that, if nothing else, to give you a little sense of what I do in Young Life, and then we'll continue with the sermon. So here's a little camp tour about Lost Canyon.
Hey, welcome! My name's Eric Schofield. I'm the regional director in San Diego. And I just want to take you through a little tour, a little town tour, if you will, of Lost Canyon, of everything that kids are going to experience, that our kids have experienced in one day. It's unbelievable. This is the bus depot, where every kid's going to be absolutely run in by the summer staff and work group, where they lead their bus in here. They're welcomed. They're absolutely opened up to the entire camp. It'll be saying, we want you here. Welcome! It's going to be the best week of your life. The zip line, I don't know if you can see it way up there, but it's like a quarter of a mile away. Kids will go up there with a harness. They'll climb all the way up that mountain. They'll get all the way up there, and then they stand on the edge, and they say, should I do it? And then they drop, and they come screaming in from a quarter mile, getting to speeds you can't even believe, and they just scoot across the water, spraying water everywhere, and then they come to a halt, and they say, let's do it again! Really? It's exactly what we want in Young Life. We're asking kids to consider taking a step of faith. Do you know the God that created you? Have you ever considered having your life and the creator of the universe's life come smashing together in such a way that you go, I've got to do that again? We didn't make a pool for old people. We made a pool for a teenager. Are you kidding me? Check out these slides. These slides are basically saying, I want to take all my energy of my teenage life and just go for it. We want kids to come to this pool on the night when we say, you can go in the pool with your clothes on. On the night when that hot tub will pack out like you can't believe. We want kids to say, are you kidding me? This was built for me? Yeah, because this is for kids to have the best week of their lives. The courts, that's where we are right now. Yeah, it's basketball courts. It's more than that. On these courts, we'll have everything from a dunk contest to basketball games to mixers. But at one point, it'll be a square dance. It'll be complete, absolute pandemonium. Every kid doing the same thing in crazy outfits. Why? So kids can be who they are, not who they're trying to have people think they are. It's on these courts that for the first time, many kids will be who they really are. So awesome. I'm in the middle of this field. Right now it's empty. But during the week, this is where we have it all. We have the cabin unity games. We have the crazy wars with this like jello color stuff and shaving cream and flower bombs. In this field, cabins come together. They're unified. They come in as 12 kids from a school that don't know each other that well. But then they dress the same. They come down here and they have these unbelievable cabin unity games. They feel a part of something. It's the beginning of the week where they say, I'm invited. This place is for me. Cafeteria? I don't think so. This is the Young Life Dining Hall, where 400 plus kids and leaders are going to come in and enjoy a family-style dinner. Tablecloths, cloth napkins, waiters, waitresses, everything you need for a meal is brought to you. Why would we do this? Because kids are that important that we want them to sit with their leader and enjoy a five-star meal with five-star conversation so that they'd say, Young Life did this for me? Of course we did. The Young Life Club Room. You might look at it as a building with kind of amphitheater seating, but what it is a place for controlled chaos where kids are going to hear about Christ. To hear a room go from decibels of just craziness to unbelievable silence listening to the message of the gospel is pretty awesome. Well, a club is their time to sit and listen to the gospel, but cabin time is their time to sit all on the same level and process the gospel with their friends and their leader. Every kid gets a chance to share. Every kid gets a chance to answer questions. Cabin time for many will be the highlight of camp. On this side of the canyon is the dining hall, Stonehouse Coffee, the camp store. We have tons of chairs, and we have four fire pits. You might say, well, why? Well, because in Young Life, it's a leader-centered camp. It's all about providing a platform for leaders to get time with their kids. Take walks, have a cup of coffee, go to the bead shop, which is on this side of camp. We're just trying to give leaders the best opportunity in the world to get quality time with their kids. That's the tour. I've told you everything that's happening today and the why behind it. I hope you enjoyed it, because you know what? It's awesome!
Oh, Phil! Dude, she got my scars.
Dude, you got good scars.
Oh, bam!
Hey, have you had the week of your life?
Yes, I have.
Are you having an adventure?
Yes!
Are you having fun even though you got some scars?
Yes!
Come on!
Yeah!
Okay, do you like that? Did it give you a little vision? Come on!
Come on!
The context that you come from makes a difference. When you understand what you're coming from, I mean, Young Life Camp has been going for 68 years. And for 68 years, we know why we're doing it. We sit around every day and we go, why are we here? We're here to tell kids about Christ. And everything has to be perfect. So we've not sold out. You know, many camps have sold out, and they say, well, you know, serving them their dinner. It's so easy if they just go down the line and they move with their tray. It's so much easier. Young Life says, no. Why are we doing this? So translate it now to Ephesians. What are the crucial relationships that Paul's talking about? Well, our marriage relationship or our future marriage relationship, our relationship with mom and dad, son and daughter, grandson, granddaughter, our work relationships with our boss or our employees. These are the relationships that we live in every single day. So what if we approached those relationships like Paul's talking about in Ephesians? You say, well, what's Paul talking about in Ephesians? Love people like Christ loved the church. Love people like Christ loved the church. This is where the beginning is. Young Life Camp, 68 years, we've not lost sight of our beginning, of why we're doing it. How about in our relationships, crucial relationships, what if we took the WWJD to our crucial relationships? Love our marriage partner like Christ loved the church. Love our grandkids and children like Christ loved the church. Love our parents like Christ loved the church. Love our employees or our employers like Christ loved the church. Philippians 2:5 says, have the same attitude as that of Christ. So we're being reminded. It's not always a bad idea to remind. I'm reminding myself, for all of us to be reminded by Paul in Ephesians, love people like Christ loved the church. At Young Life Camp, where I was just at for a month, we met every single morning for 50 minutes and evaluated the previous day and looked forward to the next day saying, how are we doing at our goal? Giving kids the best week of their life. What if we used today's sermon just to say, how are we doing to remind us of our original values regarding love people like Christ loved the church. Some people have forgotten. Come to think of it, I was, you know, thinking, I can think of some marriages that have forgotten why they got married. I mean, literally, you know that in last week in People magazine, my wife told me this, by the way, last week in People magazine, they had an article, and it was highlighting the shortest Hollywood marriages, and it had a list of all the shortest marriages. Like, for instance, it just happened to say that Eddie Murphy just got married recently, and he was married for 2 days. In fact, he knew that when everybody flew into this private island for their wedding, that it was probably not going to work, and 2 days later, it was over. I know there is one couple that I married 5 years ago. And man, we went through the counseling. They stood, they looked at each other. I love you, I love you. 4 months ago, when they were expecting their fourth child, the husband shows up one night and says to his wife, who's 7 months pregnant, I don't love you, I've never loved you, and I'm leaving you at a whopping 26 years old. And this is exactly what he's done. I mean, there's a couple of us that would love to just snap his neck and say, "What, dude, we were all there when you stood there and you said, I'm in. And now you're saying, I'm out." What? Come to think of it, I can think of some parent and kid relationships that have lost sight of the importance of what this relationship is. I mean, I can remember when David Stravesky, who you don't know, showed up at my house in Seattle. Neil was in ninth grade at the time. And his dad had him right next to him, and he said, I don't know what to do with him. And I was at the time, you know, I mean, my son was at the time like 3 months old. And so I marched him inside, and we sat down, and we had this big conversation. But here's what had happened. Mr. Dad lost sight of his son from about sixth grade to eighth grade. That's what happened. But at the same time, I can remember turning it the other way. I can remember one time being at the high school where I coached, and a kid came into the high school and said, I hate my dad. He is a jerk. And then you can fill in all the other things he said, because he said a lot. That same kid, true story, that same kid, 5 hours later is in the school office crying. I come in the door and I say, what's going on? And he goes on to tell me that his father was killed in an auto accident on the way to work that morning. The same kid that when his dad dropped him off at school, he said, I hate him. 5 hours later was saying, he had the most impact of anyone on my life. I love him. I can think of some work relationships that have become lacking in mutual respect and care, where the employees are constantly kind of bad-mouthing. In Ephesians, Paul's saying, no, you treat your boss like Christ loved the church. Or there's some bosses that are looking down and saying, you know, nobody's working. Bosses are to love their employees like Christ loved the church. This is what Paul's saying. So I'm thinking, maybe Paul wasn't that far off. Maybe it's true that acidic words fly from spouse to spouse, parent to child, and maybe even within the work environment. Maybe when Paul reminds us in Ephesians to love others as Christ loved the church, maybe he's saying, oh, by the way, Christ died for the church. There are some things to learn. It's not a bad way to live in relationships. You know, the way that relationships were designed, marriages are supposed to thrive and get deeper and better over time. Hope and Harry McDonald, you might not know him. Hope McDonald wrote the book Discovering How to Pray. Hope and Harry just celebrated this summer their 60th wedding anniversary. Two things about their marriage that are unbelievable. One, to this day, they still make a bowl of popcorn every single night. And they get in their canopy bed. They have one of those beds with frilly white things everywhere and with a canopy over it. I mean, Hope is out of another era. And they climb into that bed, which is still a queen-size bed. And they nestle in there and they watch the 10 o'clock news with a bowl of popcorn every night. and they've done it for 60 years. Also, under Hope's special kind of romantic kind of I look pretty drawer, she keeps an envelope. And in that envelope, every single year, she's put tens and fives and 20s. And if she ever speaks and they give her an honorarium, she puts in that money. And every single year, Hope and Harry McDonald, for I don't know how many years, have gone to the Stephanie Inn on the Oregon coast. They get the most romantic room with the best view of the ocean, and they go there for as much as that envelope will take them there. Two nights, three nights, and they have a cup of coffee in the morning, and they walk the beach. Their marriage has gotten better every year for 60 years. That's, by the way God designed it. Parent-child relationships are supposed to flourish. They're not supposed to get acidic. If a child's looking at his parents and saying, I'm supposed to love you like Christ loved me, and if a parent's looking at his child and thinking, I'm supposed to love you like Christ loved me, the way it talks about in Ephesians, when that happens, you end up like I did a week ago at a 70th birthday party. And at the 70th birthday party for this man in San Diego, up got his two children. He had one boy and one girl who are now grown. Up gets his seven or eight grandchildren. They all get up. They sing some crazy bad song. They're not singers. The tribute that they gave to this man to say, you're 70 years old and we love you. I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. About 2 months ago, a friend of mine's son turned 16. He asked six people to come down to Ocean Beach and be on the pier at half-mile intervals. And so there I stood for probably an hour waiting at the, you know, sitting on the little seawall with my feet in the sand. And pretty soon here came the 16-year-old son, Michael. His dad had set key men up at half-mile intervals. And each man would then hand off the 16-year-old to the next man. And each man was given a topic and a gift to give to the 16-year-old to celebrate, you are becoming a man. And the very last station was the dad. Okay, that's a relationship that's going someplace. That this is what is significant. Parent-child relationships can flourish. Work relationships can be above board. There doesn't have to be backroom chatter, or we don't have to participate in it. You can have respect. My mom worked in a doctor's office for a long time. She's retired, and every doctor she worked for is now retired. You know, the crazy thing is they still get together, not just the people who ran the office, the doctors and the people that ran the office. They care about each other so much, it's above running an office. They like each other. That didn't happen, by the way, just by doing their work. It happened by doing their work and looking at each other and saying, I want to love you. I want to care for you. There's something happening in your life. I want to know. So today I thought in closing, you know, not in closing, but the challenge, I thought, I'm going to give you five ways to have relationships the way they were designed. I'm going to remind us all of five things we can do to say, wait a minute, what does this look like? How can this be? And it's pretty simple. Five ways to have relationships the way they're designed. How are they designed, by the way? To love people like Christ loved the church. Here they are. One, funerals. Two, China. That'd be China dishes, not China. You're all thinking Beijing right there, right? Three, pause. Four, visions. Five, yes, BS. Are you interested in these? Huh? You're thinking, what are those about? What's going on? I love that. Okay, number one, funerals. You ready? Die to yourself. You want your relationships in all those categories to take the next level? You die to yourself. Galatians 2:20, I mean, this is, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have our funeral. You know what a difference it makes when you go into a relationship and you have your funeral? You die to your own desires. You die to your pride. You die to, and you say, you know, I'm all about this person. By the way, that's what Jesus did for us. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So I was thinking, you know, marriage. You don't think about yourself. You think about your partner. By the way, that doesn't come naturally. We're not born thinking of other people. I can remember when my wife was going to Denver. She was actually going back home to Houston. She was flying. We lived in Houston at the time. She was flying from Portland to Houston. She was going through Denver. And I happened to be on the phone with my brother, who works and lives in Colorado. He said, oh, man, today's going to be a heck of a storm. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. And he said, they're thinking about shutting down Denver International Airport. And I'm thinking, Marnie, my wife, is landing in Denver International Airport in about an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. I said, are you serious? He said, no, I'm serious. And so I got on the phone. And I called just a couple. I thought, oh, I'm just going to call a hotel and put something on hold. I called the first hotel, and they said, we have no rooms. So I called another hotel. No hotel had a room. The airport was already shut down. I called one Holiday Inn, though, and the guy had said an interesting thing. He said, listen, he goes, call back in 2 hours, we might have a room. Every other hotel said, no hope. But the guy at Holiday Inn said, we might have a room. I said, well, just get ready because I'm persistent. So I called him back every 5 minutes for 10 segments, 50 minutes. I called him 10 times. Hey, Bill, you know, we got to know each other, you know. On the, you know, the final call, he just said, you know what, I don't have a room, I'm giving you a room. No one has been this nice to me, nor this persistent. Well, this was the worst storm for 92 years in Denver. This happened about 4 years ago. I printed out the article, kept it, just so I could remind my wife on days she didn't like me. Remember this storm? Okay. So anyway, Marnie lands, because she gets off the airplane, she walks into this chaos, she calls me, she's crying, you don't even understand. And I said, honey, just go to your hotel room. I don't have a hotel. Yes, you do. What do you mean I do? What? Honey, I've made you a hotel reservation. Well, it's a good thing I did, because she was there for 4 nights. The airport was shut down for 2 nights and then took 2 days to get flights and everything else. That's thinking about another person. Just thinking about another person. I was thinking about the work relationship. I was thinking, you know, we had one of our Young Life staff. He lost his child, 4 months old, died. RSV, leukemia, 4-month-old little daughter. Sweet, sweet girl. Died. 5 Young Life staff got together knowing this guy, 2 things. One, their marriage just went into the 90% divorce rate category, losing a child. And the grieving process is going to make so this guy, he's not gonna go to work. He's not gonna be able to, you know, to just fire into Young Life work and lead kids and raise money and do all, you know. 5 guys, I wish I would have been, you know, one of them that was smart enough to think about it, got together and said, each one of them said, I'm gonna raise a fifth of your budget, and you don't have to do anything for 10 months. You can just go and grieve, go and be with your wife. And these 5 guys each raised his budget, and for 10 months they went to counseling. They went to, for both their marriage as well as grief. He's on Young Life staff to this day. It's a pretty neat deal. I mean, he will never look at those 5 people that are his working cohorts the same. They stood in the gap with him. Number 2, China. Bring out your nice China. Meaning, serve people. Mark 10:45. Give people your very best in relationships. Don't give them your second best in your marriage, in your kids, in your work. You give them your best. You don't bring out your everyday. Every day you give your very best to your crucial relationships. The people around you will notice. You know, it's interesting. This summer at camp, there was a couple leaders that got the flu. It was kind of going around. And one of the head leaders, the first head leader, you know, said, oh, you know, there's nothing we can really do. And another head leader just kind of stepped up and said, didn't say this, but basically said, that's everyday China. I mean, that's everyday wear. Let me tell you about the China. And this next head leader said, we're going to give you both separate rooms. We're going to bring you chicken noodle soup, saltine crackers, tons of water. We're going to get you better. And these two leaders were like, are you kidding me? In our crucial relationships, we give the very best. I was thinking about one of the guys that, another marriage, I've only had one marriage end in divorce. I told you about it. That I performed the ceremony. Another couple that I performed the ceremony, they just hit the 10-year mark. And for 10 straight years, they have had a date night every other week, then put on by the other spouse. So like, it's my week, I'm the guy, and my job is to surprise my wife with something. And they have three kids, and they get a babysitter, and then, you know, and the guy puts on the night. Then they take a week off, and then the next week, it's the lady's turn. You know, I remember hearing about it on their first year of marriage, and I thought, that's such a great first year marriage thing. Fourth year marriage, I'm thinking, okay, now you're really kind of pushing me. They just got hit their 10-year mark. They're still dating each other. That's putting out your china, isn't it? I was thinking about, you know, I go to a lot of birthdays because we have an 8-year-old. And it's so interesting to me to go to the different birthdays and see, I mean, some parents on a birthday, I mean, is it really that difficult to put on a birthday? I mean, you go to the store, they got everything. You go to Party City, they've got all the themes out. You know, the plates and the, you know, the little blow things and the napkins. You can get a cake made at Ralph's. I mean, putting on a party, I got to just be honest here, okay? It's not that difficult. But putting on a party for your 7-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 12-year-old, your 25-year-old, your 50-year-old, and thinking about it, actually just sitting down and thinking, now what could we do? That's how you put out your china. Instead of just putting out your everyday wear. You know, there is such a thing, by the way, in the working relationship. There's administrator day. There's boss day. What if you just said, I'm going to go home and Google that and do it. I'm really going to do it. I might even have a boss day when it's not boss day. Just because. Number three, pause power. We all have these amazing, you know, you've probably never been slapped in the face with a cow tongue. I have. Cow tongues are very big. It was a skit gone bad because the cow tongue sat in a car for 3 days before I was slapped with it. It really smelled. But anyway, I remember looking at that cow tongue. I'd never seen a cow tongue out of a cow's mouth before. All I've ever seen in a little cow tongue is, you know, it kind of little tongue comes out and licks some grass, you know, or something. I don't know. Cow tongues are big. Our tongues are big. They go all the way back into our mouth. They're really crucial. My dad just had a stroke in June 16th to be exact. And you know how much we're working on his tongue and his ability to swallow? I mean, I'm just telling you, don't take your tongue for granted. But also don't take your tongue for granted in the fact that our tongues are really, James says our tongue is a fire. It may be small, but it's also like a rudder on a boat. It takes us places. Psalm 141, which my wife wanted me to tell you this story, so I'm going to tell you this story. When we were first married, our first year of marriage was nothing but fighting. We just got in so many arguments. I remember thinking, golly, we just seem to just constantly be arguing. One day, we were taking our son to his 3-month or 4-month, some doctor's appointment, and we were driving, and my wife, Marnie, sweet Marnie, said, hey, do you notice that we're not fighting anymore? We're not arguing? We're not having difficult discussions? And I was driving the car, and I remember kind of looking up and thinking, I can't even think of the last time we argued. And she said, do you want to know why? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact. She goes, you know that Bible study that I've been going to with all the older ladies where she's literally, Marnie is there 30 years between her and the next youngest. When she first walked into this Bible study, having run her own company, you know, CEO, drives a fancy little car. This is before we got married. She doesn't drive a fancy car anymore. But anyway, she thought this thought. These ladies have nothing to teach me. At this Bible study, one of the ladies was talking. This lady had so much grace, so much wisdom. And she quoted Psalm 141, set a guard over my mouth, keep watch over the doors of my lips. And she went on to say how that scripture alone changed her marriage. That if she just paused every once in a while, her husband would end up doing the very thing that she wanted. When she didn't pause and she said, well, you know, and she said, it ruined it. And so she started pausing. And she was just telling. And so Marnie thought, oh, that can't be true. And home she came 4 months before that conversation. And she just paused before she spoke. Changed our, absolutely changed our marriage. We say this, we've been married for a decade and we've loved every year except for the first one. I mean, truly, it has changed our relationship. At work, is there a temptation to gossip or maybe make that person not look so good so you look better? Is there any tendency of a boss to tear down employees or employees to tear down bosses? I think probably so. And in the parent relationship, you know, the tongue, one of our very good family friends, 2 years ago moved in with her daughter. She's, at the time, was 78, now 80. Moved in with her daughter. They made a little apartment thing. Life was great. Something went south. I don't know what went south. I'm not a part of their family. I only get all my information from my mother. But all I know is that our friend moved out of her daughter's house. And according to my mom, her friend said, the things that were said to me were as hurtful as anything in my life. And at the time, now she's 80. Well, 2 weeks ago, she had a hemorrhagic stroke and she died. And so all those things that were said, it's over. So there at the funeral in which my mom went was the family, and my mom knows all the things that were said amongst this family. And now they can't go back. Our tongue is a powerful, powerful thing. We can use it to encourage. We can use it to help and push. And all of us know that we can use it to go the wrong way. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful because it can help us in our crucial relationships, which are marriage, parent-child, and work. It's where we live every single day. Number four, visions. Love that little inspiration from Jesus to Peter after the very first time they met, the very first time, and at the very end he says, from now on your catch will be men. Visions inspire. Visions give something to work on together. Visions give direction. And, you know, just like Marnie and I this morning, we came up with a little vision. Next 21 days, no sugar. We put a little thing up there, you know, we're going to weigh ourselves and, you know, just whatever. But it's together. It's amazing what that does in the marriage relationship when you have something to work on together. It's amazing what happens when you have a child and you start thinking, like, I just bought this book. Everybody make a note of this book. Parents, grandparents, whoever. Raising a Modern Day Knight. It's all about a father and son relationship. I know they should have one for girls. Maybe they do. I just know about that book. Because I read it, and now I'm laying out a plan for my 8-year-old to have 3 crucial celebrations. One, when he turns 16. He's only 8 now. I got 8 years to get ready for this. 2, when he goes to college, and 3 is on his wedding day. Now that's a vision. Something that gets you excited to work towards. You know, at our office, we went to one of those pottery places. 12 of us sat down, and we all made a coffee cup. And then they fired them, and then we brought them back to our office. Every meeting we have, guess which coffee cups we use? The ones that we made. It brought us together. What are the visions that you could have that you could go, hey, that could impact? Finally, let your yes be yes. I mean, Matthew 5, I love the way it says it in the Phillips. It just says, simply let your yes be yes. Sounds easy, but look at what's happening. I like to just say, do what you say. In a parent-child relationship, it's simple. Follow through. All of us have been at Target in a line when you've heard a parent with a kid, and you know, if you do that one more time, and the kid does it another time, and another time, and another time. Now, before we point at that person and say, yeah, that we got 4 fingers coming back at us. I bet you all of us have something that we've said, we're not doing what we say. I bet you everybody in this room has something that we've said we're going to do and we're not doing. So do it. In the marriage, I mean, I lived in a neighborhood where there was a lady that could not drive her car on a rainy day because her husband said he would change her windshield wipers because the one fell off. So when you turn on her windshield wipers, the one arm's just coming up, scratching on the window. She could not drive her car for over a month. If I were her, I would have just pulled into the most expensive windshield wiper place and said, change them, and put down my Visa and slapped the bill on it and said, see, you could have done that for a lot cheaper. But she didn't. But in our crucial relationships, just do what we say. That's all it's saying. It's just do what we say. So in closing, it's just relationships. Lord, please be with us in our relationship. We need you to help us. If you're saying, love people like I love the church. Jesus, you died for the church. How can we die and put other people in these crucial relationships first? Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thanks for this text in Ephesians. Help us to be in these crucial relationships the way that you would. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.